All right, so now. Whatever you want to do. Yeah. Yeah, man. These are just questions to assist you, and then you can write notes on another piece of paper, whatever you want to do. So tonight, you don't need to take notes for what we're going through. I just wanted to give you guys a report of what I learned from doing a Nazirite vow. So for the people who might not have been here when I started the Nazirite vow, I'm going to go briefly over what it was. So the Nazirite vow is that for a set period of time, you don't cut your hair or your beard, you don't drink any alcohol, you don't eat any grapes, even the skin or the seeds of grapes, and you're not allowed to eat any grape juice or wine or that sort of thing. Yes.
Did you end up doing that?
I ended up doing that a few times, in fact.
How many times?
Four. I had to start over four times. So those are the three main things, and then you also can't touch a dead body. As I expected, that was the easiest one to keep. Yes.
Have you done that?
I have not done that. So, what was it?
If
one of you falls down dead, please wait until after I finish shaving my head. So, but yes, question.
Tell us the time that you failed.
I'm going to. Okay, fine. So we'll leave questions till the end. I'm going to go through the report now. But, and then at the end of the Nazirite vow, giving a sacrifice, since I'm not sacrificing animals, that's an amount of money in addition to my normal giving that I've had to give every time I started over, as well as I've given it earlier today, so that now I can actually finish the vow without an issue. And then I'll be cutting my hair, and then we'll be burning that hair. So that's the remainder of the vow to be completed. Lily?
How much hair do you think is going to come off?
All of it. Adelaide.
Do you think burning hair smell really
I've bad? Heard that it does. So, you know. Yeah.
Have you guys never seen?
Okay, we'll be able to talk about it afterward. I'm going to give you the report. So, when I first started the Nazirite vow, the first thing that's important is that in Numbers chapter 6, the Nazirite vow is specifically associated with holiness. So it's a vow about holiness. And there's things that you're going to learn, or I knew that there were things that I was going to learn by actually doing it that I wouldn't have expected by just reading it. So when I went into the Nazirite vow, I was thinking, well, every time I want to cut my hair because it looks terrible, every time I want to drink a drink or eat a grape, I'm just going to remember that I'm set apart to God. I'm going to meditate on being a holy person. And I thought that that was going to be like the extent of it and that it was just going to be hard. But I learned some very important things going through the process. First of all, I did a 3-month vow and it's now been 4.5 months. So we first started on May 23rd and originally I was supposed to be done on June 22nd. So I made it, you're right, March 23rd. So I made it a week and a half into my first go. Yes.
It's been 5 months,
yeah. So I made it a week and a half into my first go, and I was at just a hangout with my family, and there was a bunch of food out, and among that food was grapes. And I had been munching idly on all of the different food things that they had out, and then I ate a grape. And I didn't think anything of it, because I just wasn't paying attention. And then the next day, I'm in the shower, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. Yes.
It was a grape.
Well, so I ate a grape, like an actual grape, and I had to start over. And as I'm shaving my head that first start over time, I thought to myself, oh, dang. I thought this was going to be easy. I was thinking, how hard is it to not cut your hair, not drink alcohol, and not eat a grape? And then I had to start over. And then the next day, I ate a chocolate chip cookie that ended up being a raisin cookie, and I had to start over again. So I was terrified, because I'm thinking to myself, I thought this was going to be a 3-month ordeal. Am I still going to be doing this in a year? Because it's only been a week and a half. It's only been like a week and 6 days, and I've already had to start over twice. It's a rocky start. And so I'm looking at this, and here's the first thing that I learned. The Nazirite vow is about holiness. I didn't have to start over because I was just overcome by the temptation to drink. I didn't have to start over because I just saw a grape and couldn't control myself. I had to start over because I wasn't being vigilant. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't paying attention to what was around me. I wasn't paying attention to what I was eating. I was just on autopilot. And I learned something about sin. I learned that there's a lot of situations, like sure, there are situations where you're just tempted and then you like fall off the cliff because of that. But a lot of times you end up sinning because something catches you off guard. Maybe you weren't prepared for your brother to be a jerk, but then he is, and then you blow up at him. And something catches you off guard, or you go into a place where you aren't prepared to resist the temptations in that place, and then you sin because you're not ready for it. And so I learned, okay, what makes this vow difficult is not that like it's super difficult to resist that temptation. What makes this vow difficult is that for 3 months straight, I have to not slip up even one time. And that's the second thing that I learned. I think that a lot of times in my own life, and probably for a lot of us, we think of sin as something that we want to do less. We think of sin like a diet. If I was trying to do a diet where I was just eating less grapes and I was wanting to cut down on grapes for whatever reason, then the last 4.5 months would have been a complete success because I definitely ate far fewer grapes than I would have otherwise. But here's the thing. It wasn't my goal to eat fewer grapes. It was my goal to eat no grapes at all. And that's one of the issues that I think we have is that we look at sin and we think, I want to do this less. Instead of thinking, I want to make sure I never do this at all. And Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to stumble, tear it out and throw it away. And when you see that kind of thing where Jesus looks at sin and he says, deal with sin radically and intensely. That doesn't come from an attitude of, I want to do that less. That comes from an attitude of, I don't want to do that at all. And so I was learning that lesson. It's like, my goal is not to do this less. It's to not do it at all. And so then I'm being more vigilant, I'm being more careful, and I'm continuing to go through the vow, and as I'm talking to people about it, I got some more insights from them. I was talking to a friend of mine in Santa Clarita, one of my mentors when I was growing up, and we were at Korean barbecue actually, and he was talking to me about the vow, and one of the things he said is like, man, John, that's going to be a practice in integrity. Because if you're alone and you eat a grape, no one knows. You could just forget about it yourself, and then no one has to see you cut your hair again. You don't need to start over. And he said, you're going to have an opportunity to practice your integrity. Because there's going to be a lot of situations in your life where maybe it's not a big sin, and doing something will make your life more convenient. Lying at the airport if you know you have COVID, but you don't want to wait the 2 weeks to get home. And so they ask you if you're safe, and you say, yes, I am, when you know you're not. And it's like, well, that was a lie, but it would have been just so inconvenient to have to wait 2 weeks for a flight. Or other situations where it's like, you know, I remember when I was in junior high, they would give us, in PE, they would give us homework assignments where you had to do certain workouts at home and then sign it and have your parents sign it that you did it. And it's like, you could just sign that paper, say that you did it, and then hand it in. Because it'd be so inconvenient to have to actually do the assignment or lose the grade. And so the issue of integrity is, are you going to be honest when being honest costs you something? And he was saying to me, John, you're going to be having an opportunity to practice your integrity. When you're 3 months in and you're just about to be done, and then you eat a grape, are you going to start over like you're supposed to? Or are you going to let that slide because no one knows? And so integrity matters. It's not just the big things, quote unquote. It's about being a person of integrity in every situation. Sin is sin, regardless of what it looks like. Another thing that I learned, I was talking to Miles about it. And Miles was saying, man, this is a really public thing. Every time you start over, people might not necessarily know how you broke your vow, but as they walk around and see a freshly shaved John, they'll know that one way or another, you had to start over. And sometimes sin ends up being pretty public, but most often it's not. And so one of the things that I got to learn is I got to have multiple people watching me and knowing that I messed up. So essentially I had a bunch of people keeping me accountable, and I got to have that pressure in addition to the other ones. So then I'm going on and I get a month and a half in. And at this point I've started over 3 times. There was another one also shortly after the third. There was another one that was also shortly after that second mess up where I think I made it like 3 or 4 days. Yeah, and I had to start over again, another grape. It's been a grape every time. So I'm a month and a half in, and I'm thinking to myself, we're a month and a half in, I've got a month and a half to go, we're halfway, I'm chilling. And then I went to the men's breakfast. And at the men's breakfast, they were serving fruit salad. And in that fruit salad, you know, I'm in autopilot mode. I go to places, people give me food, and I just eat the food. That's what you do. And so I go through, I get my eggs, I get my pancake, I get my fruit salad, I sit down, and I finish all of the food in my plate, and then I look at my plate, and what's there but a solitary grape left over from the fruit salad? And I realized there was more than one grape when I started. And I had to start over again.
I saw it happen.
They saw it after it happened, yeah. So then I went home that day and I started over again. And at that point, I learned another thing. I got a month and a half in. I thought the rest would be smooth sailing. I thought I got it figured out. And then that day, I had to start over. I got complacent. I had a lapse of vigilance again and had to start over. And so I got home that day and I was talking to my sister, I was talking to my parents, and I was saying, what am I gonna do to make sure I don't have to start over again? Because there's costs associated with starting over. Every time I've started over, I had to make my sacrifice again.
How much money?
I'm not gonna tell you. An amount. Every time that I had to start over, I had to make my sacrifice. Every time I start over, I have to shave my head again, very public affair. Every time I start over, I have to start over. All of the time that I've already sunk is gone. And so there's costs associated with it. Here's the other thing. There are good things that I'm putting off because I'm having to start over. Like, I'm having to not drink. I'm having to, and it's not like, you know, the drinking is such an amazing thing. Drinking just makes my life, not that kind of a deal. But like, there are things that are good gifts from God that I have the ability to enjoy, but because I'm having to start over and over again, I can't enjoy them. Because I'm starting over. And so on one hand, there are consequences for sin. And I'm meditating on the fact that, man, there are consequences for sin. You sin and God hits you with his divine spanker. And like, there's a cost that you pay. But there's also good things that you are giving up because you sin. And I thought immediately of specific things in my life. And I'm thinking, okay, how many areas of my life have I struggled with ongoing sin? And because I was sinning in those areas, either the natural consequence of that behavior resulted in a lack of a good thing, or God was actively not giving me something that he would have given me if it weren't for the fact that I was struggling in that area. And so when you're sinning in your life, you're not only facing negative consequences, you're also giving up a good thing. Every time I ate a grape, the end of my vow got further away. And how many areas in our life are we potentially sinning where every time we sin, unbeknownst to us, the good thing that God's been waiting to give us got pushed a few more weeks away? Or maybe because you're sinning in an area, when that good thing eventually comes, you're not going to be able to enjoy it the way that you could have if you had been faithful. Some specific ideas that come to mind, we talked about this exact phenomenon in our sexual purity night with Song of Solomon. That when you're struggling in that area, you're actually sacrificing the good gift God has for you in the future. So I'm thinking about those things. And so I'm sitting down with my sister and my parents, and we're strategizing. We're figuring out, what are you going to do to make sure you don't mess up again? Because at this point, we've realized I'm messing up when other people are giving me food. When I'm buying and preparing my own food, I know to check for that. But when someone puts something in front of me, I just go on autopilot. So we need to deal with that. Okay. We had me make a list. I have on my lock screen of my phone, I have a checklist where it says, are there any grapes in this? Is there any alcohol in this? Are there any grape products in this? And every time I'm eating out, I had to actively check that list. And for a while that worked. And then eventually I just kind of went eye blind to it and I stopped noticing it. And so what I started doing, you see that little note on my hand? Every time I went somewhere where I was going to have someone else serve me food, I took a Sharpie and I wrote GX on my thumb, which means no grapes. So something to just visually remind me to keep me vigilant even when I'm out and about. And I was talking to my family, and one of the things we talked about was just, John, don't eat out ever. Only eat food that you prepare or that you buy. And I was sitting there and my mom was like, you know, that's a pretty intense thing. And I said, I don't care what it takes. I don't want to start over again. And as soon as I said that, Julianne looks me in the eye and she says, ooh, think about what you just said, John. Think about the desperation in that. I don't care what it takes. I'm not doing that again. Isn't that the attitude that we are supposed to have about sin? And so I go on again. And for this time, I actually made it the whole 3 months. And this experience has been a pain. I've not enjoyed it. But I anticipated that. I knew this was going to be difficult. I knew it was going to be arduous. What I didn't expect is that so much of the lesson was going to come from the mess ups. That I got to understand and feel the desperation. Where I didn't set 3 months and then if I messed up, whatever. If I didn't mess up, you know, good. It's 3 months either way. The fact that I was having to start over every time I messed up and that there was no cutting it short. I didn't leave that as an option. The desperation that created mixed with the failures was ended up being the thing that taught me these lessons. The Nazirite vow is a vow about holiness, and all of the things that I've learned from doing this are things that I absolutely would not have thought would have been associated with the vow until I had actually done it. But now that I've done it, and I've learned those lessons and thought about those things, first of all, I've gotten the benefit of every time I'm thinking about my Nazirite vow, I'm thinking on those lessons, and I'm thinking about how that applies to the sin in my life. And that's been helpful over the last 4.5 months. But also, looking back, it's almost wild to me that I could have missed it. Like, these seem so obvious now that I've actually gone through it. It's like, of course this is what the Nazirite vow meant when it said it was associated with holiness. But these are such valuable lessons. So just putting a bow on it, the goal with sin is not to sin less. We aren't on a sin diet. The goal with sin is to not sin at all. Additionally, when you sin, there are negative consequences that come into your life as a result of that sin. Sometimes just as a natural consequence associated with the action, and sometimes because God introduces a consequence to discipline you. So there are bad things that happen to you when you sin. And that's not like, you know, moralism. That's just a reality that God's built into the world. Secondly, there are good things that you sacrifice when you sin. And this is something that's valuable. One of the things that I try to teach you guys is that you don't do the right thing because it's better off for you. You don't do the right thing because it helps you. If you're in a situation where doing the wrong thing seems like it will really help you and doing the right thing seems like it's going to harm you, you're supposed to do the right thing because you love God. So, like, naturally, that's a thing. But additionally, God has built the world where doing good things results in good outcomes and doing bad things typically results in bad outcomes. There's nothing wrong with recognizing that. Part of being a Christian is actually having faith that when God says this thing is bad for you, that you hear him say that and you're like, you know what, that doesn't always make sense to me, but you're right. So God gives you instructions because he loves you. And so I learned, you know, negative consequences when I do the wrong thing, positive things that I no longer get because I'm doing the wrong thing. And then finally, desperation. The desperation to do whatever it takes. But also, here's the last one. I made it 1.5 weeks on my own effort. And after that 1.5 weeks, I took a good bit of time and set it aside and I prayed. Because it's really easy for me to not pay attention just that one time in the span of 3 months. And I prayed. And I was like, God, please let me finish. Please let this not extend into an entire year. Because I can't be vigilant all the time, but you can be vigilant all the time. And there have been several situations where I was at a place that was serving grapes and I almost ate one. And then right before I picked it up, and I set it down. And there were times where I wasn't being vigilant and I wasn't paying attention. And then the Holy Spirit gave me just a little ping to stop me right before I started over. And so that's another thing. We aren't strong enough to resist sin on our own. Growth is not ultimately going to come from your own flesh and your own ability. You want help with growth? Get that help from God. But that help, that desire for help, don't be trying to do it less. Be trying to do it not at all. And there's a healthy level of desperation that should be in a Christian's heart with regard to sin. Sin is a scary thing. God says to Cain, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. And so my encouragement to you guys, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you need to rule over it. But you're not strong enough to. God is. So with that, let's bow our heads, pray it out, and then we're going to have a little bit of fun. Lord, thank you so much for interesting things like the Nazirite vow. Thank you that you built things into your word where we could meditate on spiritual realities by performing an action. I wouldn't have guessed that by not cutting my hair, not eating grapes, and not drinking, that I would have been able to meditate on and learn in a new way these realities, and yet that's exactly what you built into the number 6 Old Testament. Thank you for that. I pray that this would be a real lesson, not just to me, but to the students who have been able to watch me walk through this for the last 4.5 months. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to take sin seriously, to be desperate as we fight against it, and to rely on your strength because ours is not enough. And I pray these things in the name of our King Jesus Christ. Amen.